Stretch your hands toward her because I want to make sure that the anointing just covers her. Father, I thank you for your vessel that's going to come and preach today. I thank you for the anointing, not a sermon, but a word from you. I thank you that you've dropped it in her heart. I thank you for power. I thank you for the everything that's balanced in this. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How are you? Oh, happy day. Happy day. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. You know, Christians sometimes are the most glum people. You know, oh, woe is me. How am I ever going to get through? What am I going to do? Everything's coming down on me. I'll pray, but then I'll share it with all of my friends first, right? And instead of taking it to the Lord. Well, believe it or not, the Bible has, between its covers, the formula for every single thing that we need. Amen. The answer is here. So what I'd like for you to do this morning is hold up your Bible or your app. Shake it. Make the devil mad. Okay? Because he doesn't like it when we shake the Bible. He doesn't like it when we hold it up. Right? You know, I was raised in the Baptist church. And as a little girl, I used to see all the women and men come in with these big old Bibles. Notice how big my Bible is? And I used to think one of two things. Either they're showing off, or they really are into God. Neither of those things is true. It's large print. I'm old now, and I can't see it any other way. Okay, let's start with a joke. We always start with a joke. But we're happy. We're singing, Oh Happy Day, and we're in here, and we're all smiling and, you know, rejoicing and everything else. And we walk out, and we get in our cars. Somebody cuts us off in traffic. Miss our exit. Go to work tomorrow morning. Got so much to do and so little time to do it in. How many of you are retired in here? Am I the only one? Let me tell you something about retirement. It's not. It's a bad joke the devil has played on every single one of us. And when you get there, you will realize it's a bad joke. I got ready to retire and got the second kid. I'm busier now. I would like to go back and teach. Because all I had to do was teach, come home, cook supper, go to bed, and get up the next morning and do the same thing. I would like to do that. But no, I'm out in the world every day, all day long. So when we leave here, we have to think about our relationship and the formula that God has given us. If we go out with a frown on our face, do we look like anybody else in the world? Everybody else in the world? As a matter of fact, some of those people that are in the world appear to be happier than we are. How about the millionaire? He appears to be happier than we are. If I just had money, if I just had $1 million, I would be the happiest person in the whole wide world. No, I wouldn't. It'd be gone in 6 months and I'd be poor broke. If I just had the right partner, if I just had the right job, if I just drove the right car, if I just. And the scripture doesn't say, if I just. The scripture says, he did. Whole different thing. Sometimes the carnal world gets it right. Back in 1973, there was a famous movie called Cocktails. How many of you have seen Cocktails? You're aging yourself, thank you. Part of the theme song written by Bobby McFerrin, and it goes like this. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life, we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry now. Now, this is a carnal man telling us that in our lives we will have trouble. Jesus said that. Your life, you'll have trouble and trials and tribulations. So why are we surprised when they come? We want to go from glory to glory to glory. On the mountaintop to the mountaintop to the mountaintop. Unfortunately, there are valleys in between those mountaintops. The rocks are what you climb on. Because without the rocks, we wouldn't be able to reach the mountaintop. Without those little stair steps, we wouldn't be able to get there. The answer is found in Psalms 1, 1 through 6, Matthew 5. But first of all, please turn to 1 Minyans, starting with verse 1. Next slide. All right, if you don't have 1 Minyans in your book, I'm going to read you what 1 Minyans says. 1 Minyans 1, 1 says, it might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go in space. With the air, like I don't care, baby. by the way, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. So in case you've been living in another planet, the Minions are the new stars of advertising, television, movies, just about anything you pick up. You go to a school supply list and you look and there's Minion pencils and Minion lunchboxes and backpacks and folders. And the Minions were created to go along with a movie called Despicable Me. And the star of the movie was Gru. If you read the thing before, it says happiness is knowing Gru. And Gru is God in Minion speak. I just happened to have that in the back of my mind. In Despicable Me 2, first Minions 1-1 was brought forward, the happy song. These little characters are showing up everywhere. And this happy song was written by Farrell, P-H-A-R-R-E-L, Williams. His last name is Williams. I'm going to go back to Psalms 1, 1 through 6. The Psalms are an interesting book because there's 150 of them. 49 of them were written by David. The Psalms were used in public worship as well as for private devotions. And they're organized into five different books, if you will. And they're organized by the period they were added to the worship collection. First book contains Psalms 1 through 41. And those were compiled during David's life, considered the Davidic Psalms. And Psalms 1 I'm going to read in a minute, and that's him. Book 2 is Psalms 42 through 72. And those were probably added during Solomon's reign. Remember Solomon with the big temple and everything? How cool is that, huh? Book 3 is Psalms 73 through 89. And book 4 is Psalms 90 through 106. And they were most likely added during the exile of Israel. And then book 5, of course, is 102 through 150. And those were probably added during the time of Ezra. So that kind of gives you a time frame. But they were added as they were collected together. Psalms 1, blessed. The word blessed in the Hebrew is Esher, E-S-H-E-R, and it means happy, okay? This was the first hymn. This is what David wrote for the worshipers to celebrate God in the temple. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Say prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not be able to stand in the judgment, nor will sinners be able to sit in the assembly of the righteous. That's the wedding feast of the Lamb, for those of you that were in Sunday school this morning. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The reason why this was so important was because they didn't have a Bible like we've got. You couldn't go down to, you know, Family Christian bookstore and say, you know, I'd like a King James Version or whatever. They had huge scrolls that were kept in the temple or synagogue. And the only ones that were allowed to read the scrolls, and they read them out loud, were the high priests and the workers, the priests and workers in the synagogue or temple. Regular people didn't get to touch them or see them. As far as interpretation goes, regular people didn't have the opportunity to interpret. They didn't have the education to interpret the things of God, so thought the people in the synagogue and the church. So they interpreted it and told them what the scripture meant. Praise God, we don't have to listen to what other people say the scripture means. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit, which interprets that scripture for us in our hearts. And what might mean something to Pastor Jenny might mean something different to Pastor Keith, depending on where you are and what's going on. But it ministers to each and every one of us. We are so blessed. We not only have the Bible, we have so many translations and so many books. And anytime I have a question, I always go and try to delve deeper into it and go into the Greek and go into the Hebrew and try to figure out exactly what God was saying to the people of that time. And then what he's saying to us now, okay? Because culture's different. Habits are different. Worship is different. The next one I'm going to go to is going to be, what did David say? Well, David, I told you, was a man after God's own heart. He had a lot to do. He had a lot to say. He was using the word blessed, happy. So happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. We need to stand apart. We're not like everybody else. We're holy. We're special. We're saved. We're righteous. We're redeemed. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Why should we look like everybody else? Why should we act like everybody else? We shouldn't. People ought to know that there's something different. Joel Osteen was telling a story the other day about a woman that went into a grocery store. I don't know, she had the wrong change or something, and the woman shorted her change back or something. And she was standing there, and she said, "Praise God, just stick it and put it in your pocket." And the woman turned, it was in Houston, the woman turned around and said, "You must go to Lakewood." Those are the happiest people I've ever seen in my life. Every time somebody from Lakewood comes in here, they're just beaming. What has Lakewood got that we don't have? Absolutely nothing. I sat under John Osteen, knew Joel when he was a little guy. Lakewood has nothing over us. As a matter of fact, we probably have more than they do because we have a more diverse congregation. Talked about what did David say. What did Jesus say? Those are the Beatitudes. Okay, so let's get our Beatitudes. Jesus, whenever he started his ministry, people were thronging and following him all over the place. I mean, he didn't have a minute's peace, and he just started. And he was walking along the shore, and he picked out a couple of guys and said, you know, throw down your nets and follow me. And gathered his men together, his disciples together, and he turned around, and there were all these people. So Jesus took his disciples up onto the mountain, and that's where the Sermon on the Mount comes from. Up on the mountain. People were there too, but it was mainly for his disciples because he wanted to make sure that his disciples were set apart. They figured out later on they were walking with the Lord. This was where Jesus declared, "I am Messiah. I am the ruler that you've been looking for. I am the King. I am who you have been seeking." But he had to convince his people first. And what an unruly group they were. Look kind of like us, don't they? Going every which way. Bunch of, if there had been lemmings, it would have been better, but they weren't. They were a bunch of sheep just going off this way and that way and the other way. Everybody had their own idea. But Jesus wanted to make sure that they looked different than the rest of the world. So this is when he gave them the happy attitudes. The Beatitudes are statements that were explored by Jesus as the basic values of human beings. The basic values we should adopt and live by. Listen to what it says. Matthew 5. "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" I'm going to compare Jesus' values, heavenly values, to earthly values. The poor in spirit. Does that mean you're downcast? No. It means that you're not arrogant. It means that you're not overconfident, that you not think of yourself more highly than you should. Why is that important? Because when a problem comes along, I try to fix it. God, I'll get to you in just a minute. Let me see how far I can get with this problem, and then I'll give it to you when I'm at the end of my rope. So that's why he wants us to be poor in spirit. He wants us to realize that he's the ruler, he's the King, he's the Heavenly Father, he's the supplier of everything. We will have tribulation. It's a given fact, not even a maybe. We will have tribulation. So why don't we just take it to God? I'll take it to my friends first. I'll Facebook it. I'll gossip about it. I'll share it with everybody I know and listen to all those ideas. And you know, 9 times out of 10, there's very few that say, "Why don't you take it to God? Because he's the one that can fix it." Blessed are the poor in spirit rather than those who are arrogant, self-reliant, self-confident. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Those who mourn rather than those who are pleasure-seeking. If you're mourning or in sadness, you're seeking God. Your heart is broken. If you're out seeking your own pleasure, if you're only thinking about yourself and what you've got, you don't need God. You've got you. Okay? "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." The meek rather than the proud and the powerful. Does that mean we can't have a job, an important job? No. How you think of yourself. self-importance, the meek, preferring other people before yourself, realizing that God has it in control and you don't need to. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Rather than those that are satisfied, those that are practical, those that are well-adjusted and say, I don't need anybody, I've got this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I think that speaks for itself, the pure in heart versus the impure in heart. Those that are seeking after God and those that aren't. Blessed are the peacemakers rather than those that are competitive, aggressive, stirring things up. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Peacemakers are those that want to make sure that everything is okay, rather than those people that like to stir stuff up. Have you ever known anybody that just like to keep drama going constantly? Time, drama, drama, drama. They're adrenaline junkies. The more they can stir things up, number one, the better they feel about themselves because they feel like they're in control. And number two, they feel like they're controlling you and you and you because they have turned your life around. You might be going down the road just as happy as a little lark, just like pigs in slop, and then somebody comes along and just stirs it up. And all of a sudden you go, oh, man. And there you go. There goes your mood. There goes your relationship, not only with that person, but with your God. So you need to be really, really careful whenever we talk about sitting in the seat with the sinners, like David did. Don't stand with the unrighteous. Lead them to the Lord. Don't stand with the sinners. Lead them to the Lord. If you can't lead them the first time, try it again. But don't stoop to their level. Keep yourself above. Let them see the difference in you. Because if they don't see a difference in you, they won't hunger and thirst after Jesus. That's what makes people hungry. We're all born with a God void in our hearts. I mean, babies know it because they just came from God. They know it. They were just happy and everything's fine. But we're all, as we get a little older and start realizing who we are, we all have a God void in our hearts. Anybody remember that? I do. I was so lonely and so troubled and so just angry and just all kinds of emotions going on. And then all of a sudden one day I met Jesus. And it was filled. It was gone. Jesus filled it up. I'm no longer lonely. Even if I'm the only person in the world, I'll never be lonely. I've got Jesus. I've got a best friend in heaven. I've got somebody that clothes me in righteousness. So why are we glum? Why are we glum? And the word in the Old Testament for blessed or happy was Esker. And the word in the Greek Testament, in the New Testament, which is Greek, was M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, Makarios. What's the difference between those two words? Well, obviously, one's Hebrew and one's Greek. But in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word was looking forward to what God was going to do, what he will do. If you look at the Old Testament, the whole of the Old Testament points towards Jesus, all of it, from the first verse all the way through, points toward what God is going to do. Not what he has done, what he's doing now, what he's going to do. And it talked more about provision. Children of Israel were sent out into exile, and God made a covenant with them that if they would come back to him and follow his rules and worship him, then he would give them back their land and fight their battles for them and so on and so forth. So it's what God will do. The word in the Greek, Makarios, is talking about the present state. What God has done. Why is that? Because it was Jesus saying it. I have come. I am king. I am now. The present state. Plus the future state. Because we'll be going on to live with him in eternity. Amen. But it was talking about the present state. You see the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The New Testament was fulfilled with Jesus. It was fulfilled even before his death and resurrection. He fulfilled it as coming. The death and resurrection were just icing on the cake. That's what bought our redemption. That's what paid for our sins. That's what clothed us in righteousness. That's what sealed our fate with Jesus. So, this is happiness. The Beatitudes and Psalm 1. How easy is that? That's not very difficult, is it? No, that's not hard at all. What now? I'm so glad you ask. I just want to point out a few things. God's word is alive. in the Beatitudes and in Psalm 1 and all the way through the Bible, he's given us the formula for happiness now. Present time happiness. Present time victory. Present time, present time, present time. And hope for the world to come. In doing this, God prepares us for ministry. How can you minister if you're walking around glum? How can you do that? You go into a store and you're going, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that's going to give you victory in your life. Would you jump right on that? No. But when you come up to somebody and they're excited, like that woman shouting praise God in the morning on a porch, that's the kind of person that God needs out ministering. That's the kind of person God needs for us to be wherever we are, regardless of whether we go out and have a flat tire, get cut off in traffic, regardless of whatever. God expects us to be happy. He expects us to be satisfied. He expects us to be joyful. There's a song in the Baptist church, and probably in other churches too, trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way than to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. However, the song goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's not very joyful, is it? It's kind of sweet. It's kind of sweet, but it's kind of... We're talking about trusting and obeying and being happy in Jesus, and we're singing it like it's a lullaby or something, you know? The Minions did a better job than that. Baptists are good about getting you saved. Probably the best. But a song about trusting and obeying Jesus and being happy in Jesus should be in 2-4 time. So, I have the remedy. Oh, God's word promises to provide for us in this world and in the world to come. So we should be happy. We shouldn't have to worry about it. In order to live out these promises, I have a proposition for you. I'm going to pinky swear with somebody. I'm going to pinky swear with you, all right? Y'all pinky swear. I propose that each of us read a passage of Scripture every day, little or big, just one passage, and then spend the next 24 hours thinking on that passage. Think on it. If music ministers to you, which obviously it does to me, find a song with Scripture. Heaven knows there are millions of them out there. Even the Minion song, even the song from Cocktail has Scripture in it, okay? Find a song that ministers to you. And as you go through your day, humming or singing or dancing or whatever it is you happen to do, keep that song in your mind as you're working. Keep it going on in mind. Whether you know it or not, your subconscious mind will keep it going regardless. You can't shut your subconscious off. Sometimes I wish you could, but you can't. So you just make sure that you fill it with positive things so that you have the Word of God going through your subconscious, okay, whether it comes out your voice or not. And I'm convinced that we will not only have TGPA on fire for Jesus, we will have Atlanta, we will have Georgia, we will have the United States, and we will have the world. So, God has this. Big, long pause. God has this. Whatever it is you have, whatever trial you're going through, God has it. It's already been settled in heaven. It's already done. So we need to make sure that we put the situation in his hands and not fret. Let me go back to David. David's one of my favorite characters. David was a man after God's own heart. And I was looking him up a little bit more earlier. And you know that he went into the temple to worship God in 2 Samuel. And he got so into worship, he put on linen robes, he took off his priestly robes, he got his royal robes, put on linen robes, and he worshiped so hard that his robes fell off and he was naked standing in the temple just praising God. But that's the abandon that we should have. Did David worry about anybody? Nah. He didn't worry, he didn't care. He was just focused on worshiping God, and that's where it is. That's the key right there.